Callum, Rebecca, thanks a lot for dropping in today. So today what I thought we could explore is this topic that's quite a hot topic. It always has been quite a hot topic around the idea of work-life balance.
Yeah, absolutely. Work-life balance, I mean, I think the number one thing is to just realize what you can control and what you cannot control. And you cannot control anything out there, especially other people, because that's a big part of what I do is I work with other people. I have employees that I work with. You know, what is my work? My work is my life. And I love my life and I love what I do. And I think bringing joy into the equation, like if you genuinely have joy, if you enjoy what you do, yeah, there's a lot of things that I'd rather not do or pay someone else to do. But at the end, if you really enjoy what you're doing, then you'll navigate through the more challenging things or the more difficult things. So I'm meditating, and I meditate first thing in the morning, not at five in the morning, whenever I wake up. I meditate and I create that space in my mind, because what happens is we just get too closely involved in situations, even when they're going really well, get too closely involved in situations. I never want this to end. I own a coffee shop, and the nature of that beast is employee turnover. I don't have anyone who works for me who is a career barista. They all are in school or they have some other career plans, and this is a path like that they're on and part of their journey. And my husband and I, because I co-own this coffee shop with him, we always teach him, you can learn everything working here. If you have the right mentality and the right attitude, you can learn everything. And the most important thing is how to interact with other people and how to be skillful and how to be kind and how to cherish others and deal with difficult people. Because let me tell you, there's no shortage of challenging individuals when you work in retail. And so that skill set, I think, is something really, really important. And if we don't have that space in our mind, then we just succumb, right? We everybody starts pressing all our buttons. And one of my teachers, well, she's from your part of the world, Ireland, Genla Kelsang Dekyong, she used to say, you know, we talk about people pressing all our buttons, but we're the ones with the buttons, so get rid of the buttons. And if I don't have any buttons, then there's nothing anybody can press. And so what I do in my morning meditation is I create space in my mind so I don't get too closely involved in situations, good or bad. Yet I'm present, and it's not like I'm burying my head in the sand or out of touch with reality. I'm here in this interaction, and maybe it's uncomfortable because someone's presenting themselves to me as challenging or difficult, but I've got that space. And so I can then choose a path that's going to lead to peace and happiness and just, or patience, whatever it needs to look like in the moment with that person. Like, what does this person really need? They're placing their order. And what they're saying to me is, I want something that has no sugar in it, like a beverage, for example. I don't want any sugar in my beverage. And so we go through all the different choices. And it's like, what does this person really want? They want a sugar-free drink, but what they really want is my attention. They want to feel cherished. They want to make a connection, and they want to have some sort of pleasure and enjoyment. And by the way, this happens all the time. Like, we'll go through this whole thing on the menu, sugar-free drink, and then they order a donut. And I'm like, you know, that does have sugar. Like, and you have to love that. Like, we're so contradictory. Like, every time that happens, which is way too often, it's like, it reminds me of how contradictory we are as human beings, right? It's just like, and I think the community and this idea of cherishing others is so, so important. And when we do that, it all just works. So as an employer, when I cherish the people who work for me, I don't even call them employees. Like, I say we, you know, we're a team. Everybody's the same. I'll mop the floor if that's what has to be done. whatever it takes. Like I've to change, you know, the paper towels in the bathroom. Like we're all the same. And so that's how we roll. That's how we run the community based on the cherishing. So like, what do you need? How can I help you have a more successful day? And sometimes that means, hey, look, I'm tapped out. I'm overwhelmed. I just had to deal with something really difficult. I don't have the bandwidth. And I say, okay, go take a break. Not a big deal. Go take a break. I got you covered. And when there's trust built in that team, and when there's trust built in the community and mutual respect and admiration, it all just works because we're like a unit. It's like one mind, one direction. We want to cherish in the context of the coffee shop, we want to be cherishing all the customers, and some need more cherishing than others, but we're all working together. And so there's a camaraderie. And even when there's someone who presents themselves as really challenging or difficult, like we're all in it together. And we use this word, and I've heard you mention it in episodes as well, is we use the word interesting. Like, oh, they're so interesting. And if someone's really challenging, we're like, they're fascinating. We actually like up-level the description and we're like, they're fascinating. That is fascinating behavior. Because we can learn from anybody. We can learn a spiritual lesson through anyone while we're doing anything, just whatever we're doing. There's something that can be learned, and sometimes it's what not to do. And I think that's just as important as what to do. And if we're all on the same page and we all want the same thing, which is we want to have a good day, right? That's what I want. Every day I wake up, I do my meditation. My purpose for the day is I want to have a good day. I want to have a good day, and I want everyone else that I'm interacting with and that's around me and I come in contact with, I want them to have a good day too. So let's all have a good day together. And we're all in this together. And we can help each other and support each other achieve that goal, which is let's have a good day. And that depends upon having good minds. So if I'm having a bad day or I'm having a rough day, it's because I'm having rough minds. Like what you mentioned already, the mind of attachment, that's a killer. You want to have a terrible day, then have that mind of attachment, and it is a guarantee. Attachment to expectations, attachment to someone being a certain way when they're simply not. Like that's a lot of where our problems are coming from, I think, is this inability to accept whatever is or how someone's being, even if they're not being particularly kind. Maybe they're even being flat out rude, but that's what is. They're being rude. They're having, and they're only being rude because they're having a bad mind. They're having a rough mind. So they're not their anger if they're responding with anger. I think a really important distinction we make is the person is not their bad mental habit. It's like they've fallen under the influence of that bad mental habit. And so they're really not in control of what they think, say, and do. And so one of the things that we talk about at the coffee shop with the baristas is don't take it personally. It's not personal. Like they came in and they were agitated or annoyed, or maybe, you know, we pressed one of their buttons by not understanding what they were asking or doing something incorrectly. And it's very easy nowadays to agitate another human being. And so we try our best, but sometimes it happens. It's like we pressed a button and then, right, trigger some negative behavior. And it's just like, still don't take it personally. Even though it's directed at you, still don't take it personally because it's not personal. They're just succumbing to a painful mental habit that doesn't feel good. And they don't feel good about it when they're doing it. And they certainly don't feel good after the fact. Nobody feels good getting angry or after they get angry. It's very disturbing.
It's so powerful because in a sense, a lot of people, when they talk about professionals, it's like, I've got to put on this professional face at work or in these tough situations. But deep down in my heart, I'm resisting all of this. Like, so maybe somebody who's maybe in a call center or in customer care and they're listening to a customer who's like really irate, really kind of ranting at them. And in their heart, they're trying to, at one level, they're trying to just be, you know, polite and professional, but in their heart, they're actually struggling with that. And if you're getting that all day long and one call after the other and you're not able to process that, eventually what you're going to do is just quite naturally repress all of that. So, for example, somebody's ranting at you in a call center. You're listening to that person trying to be professional, but you're at that point just simply trying to deal with the situation. What we do is somewhat unconsciously fail to acknowledge what's going on in our mind, which is we're getting more stressed, more frustrated, more angry after each call. And then eventually you think, there's nothing I can do about this. I just have to pretend that everything's okay. You get home though, and you're really going to feel that. Because unfortunately, what's happening is we fail to acknowledge what's arising in our mind. We quite naturally repress it. So if we're getting more angry as the day goes on, we're not able to accept that difficult person's situation. We somewhat quite naturally repress that. It's explained quite beautifully, actually, in the book, How to Solve Our Human Problems by Geshe Kelvin.
Best book.
Just such a beautiful explanation that we can actually spot that anger as it's rising in the mind early on. And then it doesn't become a problem. You just choose in some way to disengage from the angry thoughts or feelings that are rising in that time. And then you just maybe you can focus on the breath like we do with breathing meditation. Again, like you say, if you've created some space in your mind in the morning, this is going to be easier. If you're doing some meditation and you're dealing with customers in this situation, maybe you can engage the breath and you can just kind of breathe, focus on the breath instead of the arising, frustrating or angry thoughts and feelings. And as you disengage from them, and you come back to a degree of a peaceful heart or a peaceful mind, then as you say, just accept this reality in front of you. Often people think acceptance is resignation. It's the total opposite. It's you're stepping on the front foot in a really positive way and a constructive way, saying, all I'm doing really is accepting the reality in front of me. That's all. I'm basically living in alignment with the reality that's appearing in front of me. At least conventionally, we're accepting deeply in our heart. And then we have the peace of mind to deal with that person's challenge. As you say, we can practice accepting defeat, offering the victory. We can do what we can to help them on that day. Not only is that a gift to them, because if they've been irate all day, they're probably irate with a lot more people than you. And actually, when they feel accepted and not judged, it's kind of a gift to them. Whatever the customer service representative is doing is far less important than giving them some peace of mind for a few moments. And also they feel not judged. But what's also is that person, through that interaction with that person, you give yourself a gift, some peace of mind to move to the next call when you may have the next situation. And then you're starting to think, actually, the way to feel more mentally and emotionally balanced at the end of the day is not to tick off how many calls I answered today, how many situations I resolved today, but where I resolve them from, a peaceful, accepting mind. And maybe gradually, as you're saying, within your culture and your organization, trying to do this with more love and more compassion. And so actually get to the end of a day, say, that was a tough day, but that was a good day. Do you know what I mean? Because I feel good about how I've tried to live that today. And of course, it's never perfect, but if we get closer to that. And I think it's really encouraging that you're sharing that, because I think a lot of people just think, when I'm dealing with difficult customers, there's only one outcome for me. I'm going to have a rubbish day. Yeah, you may do. But if you start to work with a little bit in this way, in the way that you're describing, then gradually, slowly over time, you'll develop the confidence. Actually, it's where I'm working from that's changing the quality of my day, not how much I get done.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you can't. Whatever the problem is, like, you can't even, although I can we agree, like, I would love for everyone in the world to agree to abolish that word from our vocabulary, problem, right? And instead, if we could replace it with opportunity to grow and development, and like really mean it, like, okay, another opportunity to grow and develop, another spiritual opportunity, but like really mean it, right? Okay. I'm not going to identify this as a problem. I'm going to see this as a challenge and an opportunity to grow and develop. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. And so, you know, we have a tremendous amount of snow. And the silver lining with snow is you can ski. And so I grew up doing some skiing, which I was not very good at, but improved over time. And so where do you start as a skier? You start on the bunny hill, right? And then you advance to more challenging trails until you get to like the Black Diamond Trail. So you don't get there right away. Like, you have to develop a specific skill set to be able to go down a Black Diamond Trail, especially if it's a mogul trail, which are like these little hills on the trail. And what you learn to do is skillfully navigate the mogul trail of the Black Diamond, and you're seeking it out because you want to be challenged and you want to become a better skier. And so if my real interest is training my mind, then I actually need challenges and I need difficulties and I need opportunities to train my mind. If what I truly seek is perfecting my mind, which, as you know, in Buddhism, we refer to that state as enlightenment. If I really want to perfect all my positive, peaceful mental states, I need objects to train with, and difficult people are the best objects to train with. How else am I going to practice patience? I can sit in a formal meditation and think about all the benefits that come from practicing patience, what it is, what it feels like, who to practice with. But for me personally, because everybody's different, I'm very practical. I need objects to practice with, and oftentimes they're other people. And man, some days are like the double Black Diamond trail. And so then it's just you get increasingly more skilled at being able to respond to anyone with patience, or anyone with love, or anyone with compassion. And another big one's wisdom, which it isn't intelligence. It's like virtuous intelligence. And what I mean by that is knowing, in my opinion, wisdom, like knowing what makes you happy and knowing what causes suffering. So wisdom, knowing if I get angry, that's just going to wreck my day. And if I repress that anger, like you talked about, now I go home, like work day's over, I'm home, I'm with my kid, I'm with my husband, and it's still in there. Well, they could be targets, right? One of them presses my butt, even just like brushes by one of my buttons. And next thing you know, I either explode or sometimes even worse, implode, right? Which is, I mean, you know, anger now in the Western medical model is known to be a precursor to disease and illness, like disease and illness. It's known now in the medical model. And, you know, stress is a form of anger. So if it's like, oh, I'm really stressed. I'm stressed at work. I'm stressed at home. I'm stressed because of my kid. I'm stressed because of my husband. Well, that's all rejection on some level, which is the opposite of acceptance. And so I think to even be able to solve a challenging situation, you need to accept it first. Like, I'm at the top of the hill. I've chosen the Black Diamond, and I look down, I have to accept, like, oh yeah, I'm doing this now. Like, I'm going to go and I'm going to navigate this, and it's going to make me stronger and more flexible and tougher, all these things. Like, we seek that out naturally as human beings. If we can apply that mentality to our work life, our home life, with our spiritual intentions underpinning that, now you're a force to truly be reckoned with. And we go out in the world and we're capable of so much. I think sometimes we undersell our own selves. It's just like we're really capable of a tremendous amount of our potential is limitless. And so we can accomplish a lot, but not with an incorrect mindset or not with a heavy negative mind. With a positive, peaceful mind, I mean, just look around you what people have accomplished in this world facing a tremendous amount of adversity. But you talk to anyone who's really gone through it and it just makes them strong. Like I love this example that's used in the scriptures of the Kadampa Geshes, of this anvil, of the anvil. Well, you hit an anvil, it doesn't matter how hard you hit that thing. There's no like dings or dents. This anvil's pristine because it has that resiliency. And so that's what the Kadampa Geshes talked about, was having this anvil-like mind. I want to have this incredible strength that I then bring into my work. So everyone else has fallen apart. Everyone's recoiling in dismay at the slightest hardship. And I'm there solid as a rock. Like, my mind is like an immovable mountain. You're not going to shake me today. Or showing that example to my kid, because these are turbulent times, man. And my daughter at 11 years old, about to turn 12, what she's exposed to and has to contend with is unprecedented, in my opinion. And so I have to show that example of strength to her as a girl about to become a woman. And then also, you know, to my husband and to my parents, because they're getting older and it's that tipping point where it's now I have to start to think about taking care of them. It's not the other way around anymore. You know, we all hit that tipping point with our parents. And so I have to show that strength and that clarity and that certitude and all these other things that I'm training and developing every single day. Whatever's going on in my life, I use to train my mind. I have to. Otherwise, I lose focus, I lose purpose, I lose my energy, and now it's just like everything's super ordinary, and what's the point, which I don't ever want to feel. So, having like a bigger purpose, like everything that's appearing to my mind, I'm going to use to train it, and then everything becomes useful. Everything becomes beneficial.
It's important for everyone on the podcast who's listening today not to think this is some kind of you just flick a switch in your mind and you're good to go and all of this ability to accept and have this anvil like mine. It certainly hasn't been my experience, but it grows over time.
Yeah.
That anvil like mind becomes more and more natural over time. And then you have rubbish days and you lose it completely. But when you're relating to that potential to grow, as you describe it, as a certitude, a confidence, it's okay I lost it today because I can work with that better tomorrow.
Well, it's also perspective. So it's like we're in this for the long haul, right? So we're a work in progress. We have our whole life. So you have a bad day or something, it's or like a bad hour, right? It's just like, okay, shake it off. Like I had some anger arise or resentment or jealousy or I think grasping is like a really big one, right? Grasping at some sort of result or expectation or wishing things were a certain way or not wanting to be in a situation that we'd much rather not be in. And so we're like grasping at ourselves. We just have to work with the situation. That's what my friend Jendrik always says. Just work with it, Rebecca. He's German. Just work with it. And it's true. We just have to work with the situation. Like to me, that's work. Like that's the work. It's not my job. That's the work. I'm working with my own mind because my mind is the path. My mind is the path itself. My mind is the mogul trail. My mind is the black diamond trail. Like it's what's going on here. And so I think if we can remember that and have some perspective, one of my favorite examples is this Geshe Benguigyal, who's featured prominently in the scriptures big time because all he did was watch his mind. Now, my father, who's a Boston tax attorney, would be like, so he did nothing. How much money was he making? Like, did he make money doing that? My dad's not a materialistic guy. Like, I want to make that clear in case he listens to this. That's not what I'm saying. But there's a part of him that thinks like, hey, if you have a problem, like throw enough money at it, it'll go away. And this is someone who went into business for himself, started out with nothing, built something pretty extraordinary, built his own company. And it doesn't always work that way. You know what I mean? Like you have to have inner wealth. Outer wealth, sure, great. Helps. If you have it, fantastic. Good for you, right? That means you practice giving in the past, actually. So Geshe Benguigyal, and you can look him up. All he did was sit and watch his mind, right? Which I think for a lot of people, that's the last thing we want to do. I'd rather mask, numb, and distract, which is really most of our day. Did you know that your average adult will have spent 7 years on their phones, on social media? 7 years of their life. We talk about how you can attain enlightenment in 3.5 years. So you can attain enlightenment twice, not once, but twice in the same amount of time that we're spending scrolling on our phones. And like, what are we doing? And I say this to my daughter all the time because she is not allowed to have a phone. And again, she's like approaching her teenage years and we're just living in this age of distraction. And it's like, how do you teach your kid to be in the eye of the storm? Which is what I really feel like. Like, I don't know if you saw that movie Twister. I know the second one's come out. I haven't seen it. But it's like when you're in the eye of the twister, you're in the eye of the storm. That's actually where it's really calm. And everything else is spinning out, But if you're in the center, which I often feel like in my life with all these things going on and the multiple hats that I have to wear, willingly, gladly, I've set my life up. Like I chose this life. I chose this, right? And sometimes I have to remind myself, like, oh yeah, that's right. I chose to go in retail. I chose to open a coffee shop. I chose to have a daughter who's just like me. Ah! I chose to marry this man, right? I chose this. I choose, right? If we just keep reminding ourselves, I'm the one that's going to choose. It's like we're in the eye of the storm and we're living in this age of distraction. Oftentimes we use that as a technique or device to not have to go within and not look at our mind because it's just too painful sometimes. So Geshe Benguigyal, watch his mind. And whenever he had a positive mind, he put out a light stone. Whenever he had a negative mind, he put out a dark stone. And then he'd tally up at the end of the day. And I think, you know, shortly we'll have an app for that, right? To make it easier for everyone so you don't have to carry around a bunch of stones in your pocket if you want to take this on. But he'd tally up at the end of the day, and if he had more light stones than dark stones, then he'd congratulate himself and be like, job well done. And I think that's really important too, because we can be so hard on ourselves, particularly when, you know, we've made a mistake or there's been a misstep in our life. We can really come down on ourselves hard and then become paralyzed because fear comes in and the grasping and this whole host and retinue of other painful mental states. And so I think, you know, acknowledging, hey, I had some rough moments today, and that's okay. But I'm going to acknowledge I had some rough moments. And then also when we were able to have a good mind and we were able to pull it off, even when we faced a challenge or adversity, to give ourselves that pat on the back, like, hey, good job. Well done. Awesome. Oh, you know what? There were some missteps. You lost it here. And what are we losing? A positive, peaceful mind. You know, when people say, oh, I lost it today, that's what they mean. I lost that positivity. I lost that peacefulness, or I lost presence of mind. Wow. I lost the plot, or I lost track of time because I was, you know, gone in down the dark rabbit hole of scrolling, right? So many people just doing this. I go to the airport. That's when I really notice it at the airport. It's just like everyone's doing this. And there's no interaction. And then that interferes with the ability to build community and all the other things that we've already talked about. But, you know, being able to say, I could have done better today. So in the scriptures, it's he slaps himself on the wrist and he calls himself a scoundrel, which I like that word. I also like the word scallywag. So that's the word I use. My husband started saying it. You scallywag, whatever that. I feel like it might come from Ireland.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah.
I think what's great about
that. We could Google it. That's a good thing about technology.
I think what's good about that as well, what I love about that is that sense of humor with it. Like, okay, so at the end of the day, if things went well, great. That's fantastic. You know, we've developed peaceful, positive minds. We responded to that situation. Again, responded as opposed to reacted in a kind of with a bit of wisdom and a bit of compassion. Great. And then when you mess it up, that's okay too. It's like, as you say, have a bit of sense of humor with it. Geshe Benguigyal didn't berate himself for it, no. You scoundrel. Really what he was doing was just encouraging himself and having a bit of sense of humor. Okay, you didn't do great with it today. That's okay. Because that way you responded today doesn't reflect who you are. Just reflects what you struggled with as you're improving in this training over time. Although I think Geshe Benguigyal improved to such an extent that there weren't an awful lot of black stones at the end of the day, and an incredible lot of white stones where he's developing and living from that peaceful mind and good-hearted qualities. And I think that's really important for people like in a work situation is like, give yourself a bit of space and time at the end of the day. How did it go? If it went great, well, that's great. If you've really lived from a peaceful mind and a good heart most of the day, just like really rejoice in that, like really allow yourself to deeply appreciate that, rejoice in that, because it will definitely increase the peaceful, positive energy in your mind. It'll also increase your energy to continually to work with that tomorrow in the same way. And if it was the other way, that's okay. Accept and be at peace with yourself. All you're doing is identifying the work I can do tomorrow. And as you explained beautifully at the beginning, if every day you then wake up and you sit down in meditation, you can work through all of that stuff that went AWOL yesterday, where you completely lost it with somebody, got frustrated with somebody, felt fear, anxiety. You can bring all of that into your daily meditation practice and work through it. So you reset and you course correct for the day ahead. You now have this methodology within your everyday life to kind of really work with the fuel from yesterday, good and bad, and actually channel it through your meditation practice so that when you move forward in the day ahead, you're not moving forward with the baggage from yesterday. You're moving forward with a new sense of energy and enthusiasm to go at that work today and try work with it to the best of your ability, just like Geshe Bangungyal, each day just assessing how it's going. And in that way, if we go back to where we started with this, you're feeling more at balance. You're feeling more at peace with life. You're not feeling so overwhelmed with everything.
Yeah, I really think the reflection and the perspective piece is important. So in my line of work, I've mentioned I own a coffee shop and an online retail, and I work with a lot of professional athletes. A lot of them are my customers because they have to perform at this incredible level. Like they need to mentally, physically, emotionally, like really be on point. And so they're always watching their performance. So I specifically work with football players, American football, because I'm in Europe. So I have to clarify that American football, NFL. And these guys, after a game, what are they doing? They're watching tape. And so what are they watching? What are they looking for? They are looking for what was missing. And the game's over. They're not like rehashing the past, which is what we oftentimes do in a recriminating way. They're not rehashing the past. They're looking for, this is what I tell my baristas, like, what was missing the presence of, and my students too, what was missing the presence of which would make a difference? Okay, what was missing? Oh, well, I got aggravated, so patience was missing. Oh, I got super judgmental, so compassion was missing. Oh, I just got really resentful and angry. Okay, so love was missing. Like, what was missing, the presence of which would make a difference? And in a very constructive way. So these guys are watching tape, watching tape. That's a huge part of their job. And then they have a team around them that's watching tape, pointing it out too. And that to me is the community piece, again, to circle back to that, which we call Sangha, like my Sangha. I have Sangha at the meditation center where I teach Sangha. Where I work, I consider everyone to be a Sangha friend. And Sangha is that community. And we help hold one another accountable. So, you know, we were talking about being blind earlier, like there's things that I don't even know that I don't know. And I need my friends to hold me accountable and point it out to me. All these athletes, or a good friend of mine, a Olympic hopeful, runs track, like always watching form, like going, people are always taping. And then you go back and you watch that tape. So how do we do that? Well, at the end of the night, it's really simple. Again, really brief meditation. You just rewind the day, and you're doing it in a constructive manner, like, what can I improve on for tomorrow? And then you set yourself up for success for the next day. Okay, this is what I'm going to work on. And the thing about intention and determination is, you know, first of all, it moves your mind. And intention, it's a big buzzword now. We want to live with intention. If you set an intention, we're all grown adults. We do what we want to do. So if I set the intention, I want to practice more patience tomorrow with my kid, right? It was rough with the kid today. Okay, I'm going to make a concerted effort to be more patient with my daughter tomorrow, no matter what comes out of that girl's mouth. I'm going to work with it, and we're going to practice patience, because she is such a huge opportunity for my growth and development. I talk a big game at the Buddha Center that I teach at about practicing patience. Like, I got to walk the talk, right? So I'm going to practice patience with my daughter tomorrow. And I set that intention the night before, and then I wake up in the morning and I renew the intention. So now it's marinated in my mind all night, right? And then I wake up in the morning and I reset the intention again. So now it's been hours of that intention working in my mind. And then I go out and I do my best. And that's all we can do is our best. That's all we can do. And not be attached to the result or any expectations. I'm going to do my best today. And continue to fill the gaps of what's missing, the presence of which would make a difference.
And I think it's, you know, it's a perfect way to round that discussion off, because I think it's that everything when we talked about from the beginning of this conversation, we've explored so many different aspects of this work-life balance. We really started with the idea, actually, what creates this feeling of balance or this experience of balance is not what you get perfectly right out there. It's where you're living from in your heart. And again, as you say, and I think it's really powerful to remind everyone, that balance that we're all searching for is really when we start to live and live more and more intentionally. Like you consciously choosing to accept difficult people, difficult customers, difficult situations, or family members. That intentional way of living is creating what everybody really wants, is a feeling of I'm at peace with life. I'm okay. I'm also at peace with that fact that everything isn't perfect today, because I'm able to accept it, work with it. And then again, as you say, you have this process of continual review. You're accepting yourself when you mess up, but you're also reviewing your life from that perspective that understands, I can improve this again tomorrow. So I think it's a great way to kind of round off today. If I had my way, we'd just sit here for the next few hours talking about life. But I think it's so much in that conversation for everyone to take away from today and just apply in any practical way to your everyday life. But Kat and Rebecca Gauthier, thank you so much for dropping in today. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, thank you so much.